Acts chapter 6. We have this lesson, and then we have one more in the series of Portraits of Grace, looking at God's grace in the lives of His people. And we've looked at various people already, and this morning we're looking at Stephen. Stephen, who is one of the first deacons of the church, elected back in Acts chapter 6, because the church was growing by leaps and bounds. In one day, they had, on the day of Pentecost, they had 3,000 people added to the church. Another day, they had 5,000 added to the church. And when you get to the life of Stephen, we see God just doing great things in Stephen's life, using Stephen in a great way. And this morning, we're going to look at just grace for the Spirit-filled living. So Acts chapter 6, look at verses 1 through 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. First thing I want you to notice, though, before we get into Stephen, and Brother Mike, if you can just reach over and bump that thermostat down. I think we turned it up above 70 last night. It may go like 68. It'd be fine. Before we get into looking at Stephen, I want you to notice what the apostles say in verse 2 and verse 4. In verse 2, it says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" Now, Rothbard, I just want us to understand, those 12 apostles are not saying it's not worth our time to serve people. Because in verse 4, they say, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, they're not saying, you know, they're not worried or concerned about these Grecian widows. They're not going to serve people. What they're saying is, it's not wise for those 12 men to sit there and go to try to help all these Grecian widows when the people can do it themselves, so that the men of God can continue studying the Word of God, continue ministering to the people spiritually. Now, it's not to say that, you know, obviously when you look at Peter, Peter ends up serving people, right? But we got to be careful, because I've heard of ministers, pastors, who would not talk to people, counsel people, help people. It was always delegated to somebody else. I think the pastor should be involved in people's lives, okay? But at the same time, those that are ministering the Word of God, they need that time to study, to pray, and to have that quality time so they can spiritually minister to the people. So I just want us to understand and be reminded that they're not saying that they don't care about the people. It's just because there are thousands of people in the church now, 3,000, 8,000 added to the 120 that was in the upper room, plus others that are getting saved and added to the church, they really need to pray and study so they know how to spiritually minister to the people that God's adding to the church, all right? So they're going to choose seven. They choose out seven men. And obviously it says right there in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose seven men. So what the disciples said, it pleased them that, hey, you know what? Yes, you guys need to continue studying the Word of God, ministering to us spiritually. We will choose out seven men that can help in this affair of making sure the widows are taken care of. Now, we think about God can do incredible works through Christians who are filled with His Spirit. And again, we look at Stephen, who is the first one mentioned, and it says of Stephen, he was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to learn that Stephen obviously was filled with the Spirit and boldly preaches Christ, even though it will cost him his life. You know what? It may not cost you your life to stand up for Christ and to be that bold witness and to, you know, when you have family members or friends that are against your faith, they're saying things, but yet you stand up for what's right. It may not cost you your life, but it may cost you a relationship. It may cost you something, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't help but to do the will of God. You can't help but to stand up for Christ. You can't help but to speak for Christ. And we're going to see just the grace of God in Stephen's life to help him. So, have you ever wondered? I mean, I know some people have, but have you ever wondered, why is living the Christian life so hard? Now, sometimes it can be hard, it can be difficult, and obviously the devil wants to try to use any hardship in our life to cause us to stop being so faithful to God, to turn from God, to walk away from the Lord, all right? But again, you know, just life in general, it's not just a Christian life. Life in general can be hard. But again, when you think about the Christian life, as you live for the Lord, because the Bible tells us all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There'll be hardships, whether it's spiritual persecution from our adversary or whether it is from family, friends, strangers, neighbors. I mean, again, as we are just reminded, this world is not our home. This world that we live in is anti-Christ, all right? The society we live in is anti-Christ. There is a remnant in our world and in our society that does promote Christ, and we're thankful for those that do that. And I say that as those in in governmental positions, things like that. We're glad that there are those that will stand up for what is right. But again, still reminding ourselves that there will be hardships, there will be people opposing us because of the anti-Christ spirit that is in this world. Now, God never meant for us to live the Christian life defeated because we have victory in Christ. Again, we face hardships at time. We face spiritual battles at time. But obviously, God has given us the victory. And not only did God never mean for us to live the Christian life defeated, but God never meant for us to live the Christian life in our own strength. He himself has indwelled us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to live in his strength. Again, the only way to live the Christian life is through the Holy Spirit. It's not as someone said, and I had to help them understand, it's not you do your part and God does his part. Because they kind of said, you know, I promised God if he did his part, I would do my part. And I said, no, that's not how it works. It's not, you know, 50-50. He's done all the work. And in order for us to even have faith and not to be succumbed by fear, we have to trust in the Lord and follow the Lord, knowing that he's the one that's doing the work in us and through us. So it's God that does the work, all right? But it is guaranteed that we will face opposition from the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we can combat those enemies because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see just the fact Stephen's grace to serve, all right? Again, Stephen is mentioned, and obviously Stephen is the first martyr. He's the first one that will die for his faith in Christ as he's serving the church and he's serving people. And you read on, even in chapter 7, where he just preaches boldly to the religious leaders, and they end up killing him, but he never backs down from his faith. He never backs down from his faith in Jesus Christ, who redeemed him, who gave him his new life. And what would it have been like to live during the early days of the New Testament church? All right, it must have been an incredible time in history. And Stephen had a front row seat to watch the explosion of the growth at Jerusalem. Again, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 added to the church. And they say here that the church grew by 2,500% on just that one day. There in your notes in Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In Acts chapter 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So just church is just growing by leaps and bounds. God's just adding to the church. And many, and think about this. Why would God be adding so many believers early on in Jerusalem? I mean, why would he be doing that when there's only 12 disciples? Now they've elected 7 deacons, but they have over 8,000 church members. How in the world can they, you know, minister to over 8,000? Well, again, obviously they did. God orchestrated the 7 men being elected. But again, what happens after the death of Stephen? Paul starts wreaking havoc of the church, starts persecuting the church, and the Bible says the church was dispersed, scattered all throughout the region. So God, you know, God orchestrating this, orchestrating thousands of people getting saved, getting baptized, listening to the teachings of Christ through the disciples, and then they're going to be dispersed because of persecution. And the Bible does record that everywhere they went teaching and preaching Christ. I mean, so even though the devil wants to think he has the upper hand and wants people to believe he has the upper hand, God's always in control, and God uses the persecution to get the word of God to spread throughout the known world, all right? So again, God's always in control. God's always doing something. We don't have to fear, all right, any persecution that we see. We know that God is going to use it, and he always does for his glory and for our good. Now, and think about many of those who were saved at Pentecost, settled in Jerusalem, and joined the church. With such incredible growth, however, the church's ability to care for its members was stretched. The Bible specifically records that there was a murmuring between the Grecians and the Hebrews because the Grecian believers felt that their widows were not being cared for as well as the Jewish widows were. There should never be any murmuring in a church. Among God's people, there should never be any murmuring. If honestly, if somebody feels like someone doesn't care, or something's not being met, something's not being done, instead of what they were doing, murmuring among themselves, they do end up taking the matter to the disciples, but they should have done that in the first place. They should have went to the disciples first, and we should always go to the church leaders when we feel like there's a problem, because again, I try my best to always know what's going on, to know if there are any issues that need to be dealt with, anything that needs to be taken care of. But again, I'm human. I don't see and hear everything that goes on. And if you've been in church long enough, you know there have been those that have, and I specifically say in this church, just in church general, if you've been around long enough, you know there are those that the Bible calls tares among the wheat, that they just stir up problem because they're a child of the devil, and they've been planted there to stir up problem, to stir up problems and issues. But again, as a child of God, we want to make sure that we're not giving place to the devil. We're not allowing the devil to have any room inside of the family of God, inside the body of Christ in our church, that any issues, we want to have a right spirit about it. And again, when you think about Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he's chosen as one of these deacons that we call them, that he will minister to the people because he has a heart for the people. There's something different about him, all right? I don't believe that he was part of those that were complaining and murmuring, all right? God will not use those that complain and murmur. God will use those that are faithful. God will use those that have a heart for the things of God and have a heart for people and want to help in some way. Again, many of those that were saved at Pentecost, again, they were there and they needed to be ministered to. And the widows, again, in this day, if you truly were a widow when you did not have another man in the family to take care of you. So many widows were there during this time being ministered to. And in verse number 1 of Acts 6, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Again, I don't believe it was intentional. It might have been just an oversight with the disciples. Again, they're busy like baptizing people, ministering to people, studying the Word of God. And apparently there were those that the Jewish widows were being taken care of. So for whatever reason, it might have just been people among the Jewish, among the Jewish believers that just took it upon themselves. You know, we're supposed to take care of the widows, and they were doing it, all right? The Bible doesn't really tell us, but again, there were those widows of the Grecians that were being neglected, all right? And let me just say this, even with that. If God allows you to see or hear of a need, then he's showing you a need that he wants you to meet. God's not going to allow you to see a need or hear of a need that he doesn't want to use you for. It may be that maybe, again, the pastor doesn't know about it, so you bring it to the pastor to let the pastor know. But it may be, again, that God wants you to meet that need because, again, God wants to use every one of us to minister to one another and to other people. You know, the apostles, though, they listened to the need and they worked to meet that need. They asked church members to begin looking for men who were dependable, who were honest, who were spirit-filled, and wise, who could serve the church in various ways. Now, there's so many things because in the church I served at for 13 years before going into the ministry, I was a deacon for several years. And every 3 years we had to vote on new deacons. Every 3 years we voted on new deacons, and every 3 years, some people dreaded it because they knew that there was going to be a bunch of argument. And specifically by one person who would always, he never would get picked to be a deacon, and I know why. But when you think about the fact that when the church would have to vote on deacons, all the members of the church had to write on a piece of paper and turn it in their nomination, who they felt would be qualified as a deacon, all right? You go through Scripture, you know, you go to 1 Timothy, it gives us the qualifications of deacons and all of that, all right? But one thing that was always argued by somebody in the church was the fact, well, you know, these men that are being, you know, nominated that we have to vote on, this person would argue none of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you, okay? The Bible does tell us that we need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in the ways of the Lord, help us to have a Christ-like spirit, help us to respond to people in a Christ-like manner. We need to be able to show grace to people. Now, again, there's not a single person that's perfect. There's not a single person that is sinless, all right? But as the people of the church would turn in their nominations, they would turn in, and I remember just the names that they would turn in. I would think to myself, That's a good nomination because I'm thinking of the person who is always there. He's always friendly. He's always willing to help anybody. All right. He's always whenever there's a need, whenever there's something that needs to be done at church, you know, some of these men, they were there helping out, doing what they could. All right. And again, when you think about what truly is a deacon, according to Scripture, what were they doing? They were just basically serving tables. They were serving people. Okay. And I think, you know, with Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit, well, it needs to be someone who has a walk with God. Because if someone is chosen to be a deacon that does not have a walk with God, they're not going to care about the people. Because I've known of people that they're only in it for themselves. What can I get out of it? So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe, is to truly have the mind of Christ, to have the grace of Christ, that you love to serve people, you want to help people, you're always looking for a way to show Christ to somebody, to show the love of Christ to somebody. But it should never be something that comes up with an argument or anything. And again, that's why it's left up. That's why the disciples left it up to the Grecians, choose you out 7 men. That way, you know what? The responsibility is now on the people, okay? You've brought the problem to us. I think the best way to solve the problem so that we can continue studying the Word of God, praying and spiritually ministering to the people, we will let you choose out 7 men that are honest, of good report, and full of the Holy Spirit. So responsibility is put back on the people. And again, it pleased them because now, honestly, they don't have to worry about the 12 disciples picking men that they like. Because sometimes that will happen in a church where leaders choose people they like, people who will back up their agenda to be in certain positions. You see that in governmental affairs. You see that just really all across. I mean, even in workplaces, you can see where people are promoted because they're well liked by the boss or the manager, and they're wanting to put people in places that will help them. Okay, but again, they were given the responsibility. Okay, you choose out 7 men, and here is what you need to be looking for. Men that are honest, men that are of good report, men that are filled with the Holy Spirit, men that have a walk with God, right? And that's very important because, listen, before I even go on, can anybody serve in church? Yeah. If you were to come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to help out in junior church. Hey, you know what? The junior church workers would love to have someone that kind of rotates with them. Not a problem. But I would also be thinking about how can this person serve? If it's a man, he probably needs a woman to be with him because he's working with girls and stuff and just different things like that. Yeah, if a man came to me and said, Pastor, I'd like to help out in the nursery, I'd be like, no. No men are going to work in the nursery. You know, and it may not be that, you know, that man would do anything wrong, but even just people's perspective of seeing a man in the nursery, it's like, okay, we want to make sure, again, we don't give the devil any room to spread rumors or anything, all right? But again, you know, anybody can serve, but not everybody's qualified for certain things in the church, okay? Not everybody's qualified for certain things, and I can just say, and honestly, that's why this one person in my home church always calls problems because he was not spiritually right. He had some wrong doctrine and stuff and just always causing problems, never wanting to really help in the church, just cause problems, all right? So again, choosing people that are spiritually qualified to do what's needed to do here in the early church. Again, the apostles, they listened to the people. They gave their suggestion. The people liked their suggestion. The people went and chose them some men. All right? Again, verse 2 in your notes. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, Stephen wasn't necessarily a great preacher. That's not why they chose him. Yet he was chosen as one of the first deacons. First thing we see, reason why, was the fact he was full of faith. He's full of faith. The first reason there in verse number 5, he was full of faith. He was a man full of faith. He was someone who had a walk with God. He was someone who could be trusted. He was somebody who honestly had the wisdom of God. All right. And really, that should be for all of us. Again, when you get to 1 Timothy and you start looking at just the qualifications of a deacon and a bishop, we should never say, okay, well, that's the qualification of a bishop and a deacon. What's my qualification? You know, what am I supposed to strive for just as a layman? What am I supposed to strive for just as just a member of the church? those same qualifications. You know, having a walk with God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking God in your life, being full of faith, someone who is always, doesn't mean they're perfect, but someone, again, who has a strong faith in the Lord, someone who is going to walk with the Lord and seek the Lord and let God guide them in the affairs that they do for the church. Again, Stephen was full of faith. Again, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Why? Let me just say, why do we need to be full of faith? You know what the number one thing the devil attacks in your life and my life is your faith. That's why the Bible says that part of the armor of God is the shield of faith, so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Because the devil, it doesn't matter really if you have, you know, if you have some type of teaching position in the church, some type of ministering position in the church or not, the devil attacks every one of our faiths because he wants to weaken our faith. He wants us to get to the point where we're tired of fighting. I'm tired of holding that shield of faith up. I'm tired of fiery darts, and that we get so weak in our faith that, again, when the devil, if the devil ever has you down on the ground, spiritually speaking, you know, in a spiritual fight, he's not going to go, okay, I got him down, I'm good. No. If he gets you down to the place where you stop believing God and stop trusting God, he's not going to stop there. He's going to keep attacking until he destroys you completely, because he's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? Again, that's why I think it's very important that the Bible even points out the fact that Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was somebody who the Lord was going to use in a great way, not just in serving the people, but even in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and even in the face of death. I love the fact. In fact, look at chapter 7. It's chapter 7. Look at verse number. Look at verse number 55. Because verse 55 and following really shows us the character of Stephen. Because, I mean, back in chapter 6, we just know that he's a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. But in chapter 7, we see why he's considered a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In verse 55, the Bible says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." I think someone who is full of faith, they see God. They see God on their side. They get encouragement from the Lord. Now, again, Stephen literally looked up and saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. But guess what? We can spiritually look up unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Our faith helps us to be encouraged. I don't literally, physically need to see Christ to be encouraged. He's there. He's going to help me through it. All right? But again, read on, verse 56. And he looked up, in verse 55, he looked up, in verse 56, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And you read on, and they read on. Look at verse number 59. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down. He cried with a loud voice. He even says, look, as they're stoning him in verse 60, he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." So even as he is being stoned to death for his faith and for what he said, speaking truth, he doesn't curse them. He doesn't call for their destruction. He calls for their forgiveness. Again, that's a man that's full of faith in the Holy Spirit, that in the face of opposition, facing death, facing the angry mob that he calls out, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? How many Christians could honestly do that? And to be honest, I would need the Lord's help to be able to do that. Because the human side always wants to get revenge. The human side always wants to get the last word in. But Stephen simply says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's a man full of faith. That's a man that's full of the Holy Spirit. He's resting in the peace of Christ, and he's allowing the Holy Spirit to guide him through that moment. But also I want you to see let's see here. It's probably back up in chapter 6. Yeah, it's verse 15 of chapter 6. So I believe chapter 7, we really see the character, the Christ-likeness in Stephen's life and how he's able to handle the persecution and the resistance and opposition he's facing. But at the end of chapter 6 and verse 15, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. It means there was absolutely no fear in his face. There was no anger in his face. He was just totally at peace. Yet he's faced with opposition, he's faced with persecution, yet there's no fear. He is resolved in his heart to trust the Lord in this matter. He's a man full of faith. He's a man full of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're told back in Hebrews 11, verse 1, you'll be there in your notes, under letter A, the fact that Stephen is full of faith. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 reminds us, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 of Hebrews 11 reminds us, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me just say this as well. Stephen did nothing of himself and by himself to have such great faith that he had. Stephen did nothing of himself and by himself to even be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Holy Spirit work in our life. We have to let God increase our faith. And it's increased by us continually believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the fact that, you know what, when I come to God, he will answer me. He will help me. He will guide me. That's why verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I cannot cause my faith to grow stronger without following the Lord, without trusting his word, reading his word, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. And when I'm faced with opposition, when I'm faced with spiritual resistance, trusting the Lord. Again, it's not that any of the men and women throughout Scripture were some supernatural Christian. It's the fact that they believed and trusted in a supernatural God, a God who has all power, a God who guides their life and would protect them and use them in great ways. And God still does that today. It's all us. It's all about us trusting the Lord, following by faith, and doing what's needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible does tell us, be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to tell us by, you know, singing to ourselves spiritual songs and hymns, you know, doing the work, letting the grace of God work in your life. All right? Again, you can't help but to read the Bible and get encouragement and your faith be strengthened because of what God does in the lives of people and what he does in your life as well. Now, it's crucial that we have a foundation of faith, and Stephen certainly had that. But he had another thing in his life that transformed everything else he did, and that was the fact that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, before I even read on, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time occurrence. It's an everyday occurrence that needs to happen in our life. Every day we need to seek the Holy Spirit to help us throughout the day. We need to lean upon the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit's been given to you and me to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us. But he cannot do it unless we follow him, unless we lean upon him, unless we trust the Lord. We have to allow ourselves to be full of the Holy Spirit because, listen, if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, if we're not allowing our lives to be led by the Holy Spirit, we will not believe anything God says. We will not trust what the Lord's telling us to do. We will not follow the Lord by faith. And when opposition comes, we will run away from it instead of allowing God to help us through it. Because again, God brings us to opposition so he can show himself mighty. Because think about it. Could not God have kept Stephen away from this opposition and this persecution? Could not God? Because listen, when you get to chapter 7 all of chapter 7, you see where Stephen starts preaching to the religious leaders. He starts with the history of God's people, and he just preaches them a sermon. Why didn't God take that sermon and turn the hearts of the leaders around so they would not kill Stephen? And I don't have the answer. But what I do have the answer to is there was a man standing there who was affected by Stephen's testimony. There was a man standing there that gave his consent to the death of Stephen while holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He watched Stephen be stoned to death. He watched Stephen look up and say, "I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father." He heard Stephen say, "Lay not this sin to their charge." He saw the countenance of Stephen. Stephen never had any fear on his face. He never had any anger on his face. But he saw a man whose face looked like an angel. And in chapter number 8, his name is mentioned, which is Saul. Chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." All right, go down to verse 3. "As for Saul," who later he goes by Paul, "he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison." Again, I mean, just the fact that Saul is there, Paul is there, he sees all of this, and yet the Lord does affect his heart. Now, it's years later that Paul will sit there and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but again, it's amazing, but the death of a saint is very powerful, and the Lord uses the death of a saint in a very powerful way to draw people unto Christ. Many have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ at a funeral of someone of a family member or a friend that they knew had a great walk with God, they had a great testimony, and at their funeral they're presented the same gospel that person had put their faith and trust in, and many have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of the testimony of that one person. So again, when you think about Stephen, why he was chosen, I believe he already had a testimony among the people. He already had a testimony, along with the others as well. We're not discrediting the other six men that were chosen, but just looking at Stephen, because again, he was the first martyr of the church. He's the first one that was stoned to death for his faith, yet he was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord used it in a great way. Let me just say, the death of a saint is never in vain. The Bible does say that the death of the saints are precious in the eyes of the Lord. It's precious in the eyes of the Lord. But again, we should strive and we should have a desire to want to have a strong faith and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So every day that God gives us, that we can walk in the Holy Spirit, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we can walk in the Spirit, giving glory to God, but also God using us to affect other people. I'll look this up for next Sunday so I can give you the man's name, but there was an evangelist, I believe in the early 1900s, could have been late 1800s. And I don't know, Dylan, you may remember the name because I know it was somebody that even in college that they would even reference as well. But this evangelist, I mean, he was a well-known evangelist. And they had this recorded one time where he came to a town to do an evangelistic meeting. And he was walking through a warehouse. There were people working, and he was just walking through the warehouse. And people started crying out to the Lord, dropping down and asking for God to forgive them. He didn't say a word, but testified, and I'll look this up for you. I'll give you more information on it next week, but it just testified. This man was full of the Holy Spirit that even though he was an evangelist, he wanted God to do a work. He knew that he couldn't do it, that God would do it, but he had such a walk with God that the Spirit of God would move upon people. And if I'm not getting my stories mixed up, I believe the same evangelist was on a train ride going to another town. And because God used this man in such a great way, that there were bootleggers, there were bar owners that jumped on this train and held this evangelist at gunpoint. Because they had heard every town he went to, people gave up drinking, people stopped going to the bars, and they did not want that in their town. And they threatened the man's life. And it's recorded that the man looked right at them with the gun pointed in his face and said, "You can't scare me with heaven." Now, I don't remember, I have to look it up, I don't remember if those men got saved or not, but I mean, he went on to their town and more people got saved. But it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in people's lives. Again, all of us have people in our life that we can affect for the Lord. How is it that some people can be comfortable around a Christian cursing, using the Lord's name in vain, and they know that person is a Christian? How can they be so comfortable by acting the way they act and not having any reverence? I believe it's lack of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's lack of the Holy Spirit in that person's life. It's not that you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I say you, I'm not saying you in this room, I'm saying just you. It's not the fact that a Christian doesn't have the Holy Spirit, but maybe the Holy Spirit's been grieved. The Holy Spirit's been quenched, so the Holy Spirit really hasn't been given his place in that life to really affect that life, like the Holy Spirit affected Stephen's life. So you know what? Again, when he's faced with opposition, he's faced with those that hate his message, yet he's still able with Christ-like demeanor, Christ-like attitude, still show them love, even though they're killing him. It's because his entire life has been given over to the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we need, even in the day we live in. We need our lives to have more influence by the Holy Spirit. We need to walk more in the Holy Spirit so that we can affect others for Christ, so that God can use us. And again, God does. He wants to use every single one of his children. There's not a single child of God that God does not want to use. And he equips us. He gives us the ability to do what he calls us to do. So again, I mean, just in the days we live in, we should really I believe that desire will come through reading more of God's word and praying more. That desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because again, God saved you and me not to put us on a shelf and not use us. He wants to use us because he wants people to see a life that's been changed, a life that's been helped. Again, it's not that Stephen was better than the rest of them. He just happened to be the first one that got killed for his faith. And again, you and I may never face death, but we definitely do face opposition for our faith at different times. So we got to let the Holy Spirit continue to work in our life and us yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And you will see the grace of a Spirit-filled life when we do that. So a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for just your grace in our life. We do pray, Father, that you would help us to walk more in the Spirit, that we, Father, would seek the filling of the Spirit, Lord, that we would seek to be more Christ-like, to have more the attitude of Christ, to even see people through the eyes of Christ. And Father, I ask that you would just help us, Lord, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us not only to comfort us, but Lord, to teach us, to guide us. Father, I ask that you would continue to work in our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to just respond to you. And Lord, not to turn away from the truth, not to reject anything that you're speaking to our heart about, but Father, to truly say, Lord, help me in this area. Help me, Lord, to be a vessel of honor that you can use, a vessel of honor that obviously brings honor and glory to you, and that can help and will help somebody else at different times. Thank you, Father, for this time. We ask that you bless the next hour, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.